Save a little more this month. Chime checking accounts have features like fee-free overdraft up to $200 with SpotMe and no monthly fees. Open your account in minutes at chime.com/goals24. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. members FDIC. SpotMe eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply.
All right, it is the second half kickoff here for the morning show presented by St. Mary's Medical Group. Dave and Logan along with you. Good Monday morning. Where we are currently sitting at 52 degrees in Athens.
Beautiful morning.
It is. I don't see any clouds in the sky. High today is 69. And tomorrow, a high of 73, although it's the temperatures are going up. 76 Wednesday, 82 Thursday, 82 Friday, 87 Saturday, 89 Sunday, 89 Monday, 91 next Tuesday. So we're going from spring to summer in 0.6 seconds.
Yeah, it happens. That's called Georgia.
Yep.
Hey, Little Richard's going to have to wait, man. We got the Redcoats fired
That's
up
right.
this morning.
That means our man Mike Griffith from DogNation.com joins us. Hello, Mike. How are you this morning?
Doing great, guys.
Good to hear your voice, and I hope you had a good weekend. In this world of speculating that we live in now, thought it was a good story you wrote from Friday concerning the return of college sports, specifically the return of college football, and kind of like what Mark Emmert said, because I know the NCAA gets, you know, they catch a lot of slack, but he basically said, looks like sports this coming year is going to get a mulligan. We got to get some, you know, if we're going to get some stuff in, then we're going to relax. I think the way he phrased it, regulatory regimes, it's going to be a very unusual school year. What were your thoughts when you saw and heard that stuff from the president of the NCAA, Mark Emmert?
Well, I mean, just common sense.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we've all got to relax our norm and make adjustments and be somewhat inconvenienced to move forward. The option is to, you know, lay on the ground and throw a temper tantrum and not move, or to move forward with precaution and measured action. And, you know, I think we all would agree that we've got to move forward with measured action. And, you know, I'm going to stay optimistic. I'm like everybody else. I follow those COVID-19 numbers, and it looks like Georgia's doing great to me. And I hope that's the case next week and the week after that. But, you know, hey, I'm going to follow the provisions that the leadership asks me to follow as far as social distancing and masks. And I'm still limiting, you know, my time out. But I'm just following the directions, man. That's our job as citizens, not to complain, not to attack. Just do your job. And this is a time in our country where we've got to do our jobs. And we see a lot of people out there trying to do their jobs. We know right now, as far as the Georgia football program, these guys are spread out all over the country. Different societies, different towns. I think they'd be a lot safer if they were on the Georgia campus right now with those doctors there 24/7 on a meal plan and training with their brothers and their coaches and getting ready for a season. I think they'd be safer than going to the mall or to the local McDonald's. But we're not there yet. That's coming in mid-July, I think. So I'm optimistic, and I'm starting to feel really good about our future here. It's been tough, but I've stayed positive. You guys know me, man. I'm looking forward to football season.
Darn right.
Absolutely. And I agree with you. I mean, you know, to me it's like whether students are back on campus or not, if the teams are together, and if you want to call it quarantining or if you want to call it huddled together, whatever you want to call it, if the teams are back together, you know where they are. And when they're not together, you don't know where they are. And I think you make a good point there.
Well, it's kind of ridiculous that, you know, well, campuses have to be safe before. Well, where are you safe? Are you safe back home? You make it sound like campus is where it's all going bad. Anywhere I look, every corner of the country has been affected by the coronavirus. There is no safe. I mean, people act like it's an option. Well, you know, it's got to be safe before they go back. Is it safe where they're at right now? Hell no. Would it be safer if they had medical care and doctors on hand and a meal plan and worked in a control environment every day? Heck yeah. It's not that complicated, folks, but, you know, people want to make it complicated. Some people want to make this complicated. Some people want to keep moving the goalposts back on us. You know, we started out looking for answers and ways to play football, and now we've got people emerging looking for ways and reasons not to play football. And these people need to take a leap because they're getting in the way, and that ain't going to go. You know, well, what if so? What if this other program? Well, then that's that program. Look, here's the thing. What you tell me, if we've got 10 of 11 SEC states that are open back up, but one isn't, are we supposed to say, well, can't do it? No, I'm sorry. And the fact is, it's not a level playing field. That's the other thing they brought up. Well, you know, if some programs come back than others, it's not a level playing field. Really? What about Clemson? They got in more than half their spring practices. Is that a level playing field? Are we going to punish them because they started earlier? I mean, this concept that there's going to be a level playing field is ridiculous. Is it a level playing field that Alabama had 100 assistant coaches running around there and other programs had five? I mean, is it a level playing field that some schools have bigger budgets than others? Is that a level playing field? Is it a level playing field that, you know, some schools get eight SEC home games every 2 years and some other ones only get seven? I don't think so. So the whole level playing field thing is a fallacy. It's a weak argument. And the politicians that are pushing it, like I said, you know, they need to be called out. I mean, this country is moving forward. And the people that are trying to get in the way are going to get run over.
Talking with Mike Griffith from the AJC's DogNation.com.
Along the lines of that, Mike, if things do get into the fall, and I know like the Oregon governor said something along the lines that large events need to be modified, some sort of language about through the month of September. Obviously, we know Ohio State scheduled to go to Oregon in early September. But if other states are of the mindset and other conferences that we can't do this right now, but other conferences are gung-ho that we are going to do it, is the possibility out there we could see a college football season without everybody participating, or does it take all the people at the table to make it work?
Well, the last time I checked, I think there was like, what, 1,000 when you go NCAA?
Pretty much, yeah.
Division II, Division III, like 1,000 schools, right? Mm-hmm. Something like that. There's 130 to play football. So we're already without, what, 870? I mean, yeah, there's a possibility. Of course there's a possibility. Not everybody has a football program to begin with. Not everybody plays in a Power 5 conference and has a realistic chance of winning the national championship. You just do the math. I mean, I think Georgia's share, the SEC's share for the television contract, I want to say was like $44 million per school. Conference USA schools got about $440,000. Is that a level playing field? Is the NCAA going to do something about that? And just wait till we get to this name, image, and likeness thing. This is going to turn sports upside down.
Mm-hmm.
Kids are going to start getting recruited where they can make money. It's going to level the playing field. For a while there, we got into like a facilities arms race. Okay, well, that's going to be over. And the money's going to start going to the athletes. But that's a conversation for a whole other show. But this whole level playing field thing, this is just one more thing that gets in the way. And now I understand, you know, you try to talk to Greg McGarrity, he's pretty tight-lipped. You know, like the SEC commissioner, they have these daily talks with their ADs, and they say, you know, we're not going to deal in hypotheticals. I said, oh, come on, just tell us. We want to hear it. Well, no, they're not going to. You know why? Because every time somebody puts a hypothetical situation out there, somebody complains. Somebody tries to blow it up before it even gets off the ground. And so they don't even deal with it. So why put it out there? Why make any decisions before you have to, or announce any decisions before you have to? Because we live in a world on social media where these Twitter mobs come after you and lynch you if they don't like your idea. It doesn't even matter if you're right or wrong. They don't even have to have real screen names. They can just be pretend names on Twitter, and they're going to call you every name in the book.
Yep.
I went on the Paul Feinbaum show last week, and we were talking about Tennessee's recruiting class. A lot of people they're talking about that because Tennessee's got like 21 commitments, and Georgia has 7 and Alabama has 4. Well, earlier doesn't necessarily mean better. I mean, it's an aggressive strategy. It gets a lot of momentum. All I did was look inside the numbers and said, you know, the average player rating is the same for the class that you have right now as you signed last year. But the team is ranked number two right now. Why? Because of the number, the volume. But in the end, everybody's going to have the same amount of scholarships available, and that player rating is going to factor in. And the player rating for Tennessee last year got the number 10 recruiting class in the country and the number 7 class in the SEC, right smack dab in the middle of the SEC. All they're doing is taking players earlier. And I just pointed that out. I said it's the same caliber. You would have thought that that I suggested, you know, somebody dam up the Tennessee River and blow up Neyland Stadium. I got attacked, and I didn't say anything bad. I just said it's the same caliber as last year. People were infuriated by that, but it was the absolute truth. And it's just a different strategy. Georgia and Alabama, they want to wait. They want to evaluate. Before they take a commit, they want to take a commit that they don't necessarily have to go back on or recruit over in the next 6 or 7 months. You look at the Tennessee class of 21 guys right now, I would be willing to bet you that at least 30, if not 50%, won't end up signing with that team. All it is momentum. The kids want a safe harbor at a time when there's no visits going on, a bird in the hand. At least they know they got that Tennessee scholarship. It doesn't stop other schools from stopping to recruit them. So, you know, to me, that's in recruiting is just, it's kind of like, it's kind of make-believe anyway, because it's not like these stars actually, you know, Brent Cox was a 5-star, Solomon Kinley was a 3-star, right? I mean, you can't always say this guy's going to work out because, and then there's the people that train. Justin Fields was part of a big class. He's not even at Georgia anymore. So how much did that really matter, right? Jamie Newman was a 3-star that signed with Wake Forest, and now he's at Georgia. So how much did that recruiting ranking matter? So recruiting rankings are kind of, they're fun to watch, but I'm not married to them.
I can see your Twitter, Tom. You sucked when you covered Tennessee, and you suck even worse now. Get away from Tennessee. But, you know, it just kind of goes to show you, because we all get that. We know how it is. But it just goes to show you how hungry they are for just positive football news for them, because, you know, this bowl that they I guess going to the Tax Slayer Bowl is the first time they've been to a bowl game in what, 4 years or 5 years, and, you know, get away from us. You don't get to comment on what we're doing, even though, like you said, and Logan and I talked about this last week, yeah, they've got commitments from a bunch of people, but if you look at the number, or, you know, basically what their rating is per player, it's much, much lower than teams that are down below them in the rankings. But hey, I get it. You know, that's where they are right now.
And it's momentum, and, you know, everybody's trying to sell positivity, and that's part of what they're trying to do to bring their program back. You know, but they got to get some big wins, right? I mean, it's like Tom Crean in Georgia basketball. But you know what? Georgia basketball beat the number 10 team on the road in Memphis. And Georgia basketball beat Tennessee by, what, 16 or 17 points? I mean, they had some quality. Georgia basketball finished 500, but they were playing in front of capacity crowds at home, and they got some big wins. You know, Tennessee, their biggest win last year, I mean, I don't, what was it? Was it Indiana? Was it Kentucky? You know, and they had some bad losses, real bad loss. You can't lose to Georgia State. That's a tough loss. You can't tell everybody that your coach is out coaching everybody and lose to Georgia State. You just can't. So they've got some things to overcome. They do have some momentum. You know, I covered that program a long time. You know, I spent 16 years there in Knoxville, two different stints. The second one, I was only there 2 years. But the first time I was there from 98 to 2012, I mean, shoot, I covered it all. You know, I saw it all there, and I know how hungry they are. And when I talk about name, image, likeness and places that are going to benefit, Tennessee's going to benefit because those kids are going to get money there. I guarantee you. You know, Pilot Oil Corporation is the, you know, it funds the university. And they're going to get money everywhere. Georgia's got boosters too. And they can say, well, boosters can't play. Listen, businesses are going to pay kids to do endorsements. There's only a satellite. You know, Dish Network is a Tennessee guy. So that's going to, when that kicks in, those schools that have money and businesses associated with them, they're going to be able to swing endorsement deals for the kids that go to their schools. And there's not going to be anything anybody can do about it. They're going to have agents. College football, you know, right now it's like COVID-19 is this speeding meteor that's coming right at us. So we don't notice all the other pollution in the environment. This name, image, likeness thing is going to completely change the face of college football. And I predict it's what Nick Saban is going to, that's when he's going to be done. Because what's going to happen is kids after 1 year, if they're not getting their attention and it's going to hurt their endorsement chances, they're going to transfer somewhere else. And when you play at a place like Alabama or maybe even Georgia, where you got to get used to the process, right? You got to understand you're not going to get on the field right away. Does a guy like Tyreek Stevenson stay for a second year at Georgia if he can go somewhere else and get an endorsement deal? You know, I don't know. We know that Tyreek the Freak was a guy that they're excited about, but we also know he had to learn how to watch film. He learned that he had to learn how to practice better. And this year we may see a lot more of him on the field. Fantastic athlete. But would he have stuck it out if there was a $300,000 endorsement deal waiting for him back in Miami to advertise, boots for some company? I mean, this is what's going to happen. And these coaches, Kirby's going to adapt because that's what he does. I mean, that's why he's a fantastic coach, is he adapts and adjusts. And his motto, if it ain't broke, make it better. I mean, he's built for this. But a guy like Saban, this is when he's going to say, I ain't dealing with this.
Tennessee, Miami, a couple of those schools you just mentioned, of course, there's going to be ample opportunity for endorsements and a lot of rich alumni that are involved in certain things that could provide those endorsements. But I know our listeners are going to want to know, how does this affect Georgia also? And that's something I've not lost a wink of sleep over, thinking that Georgia won't be able to keep up with that type of name, image, likeness endorsement. I don't think Georgia will struggle at all in that category, do you?
Well, they're going to have to be progressive in their thinking. And provided that Kirby Smart is the head coach, But sometimes, guys, they don't listen to Kirby Smart, okay? Sometimes you've got some leadership over there that doesn't listen to the head coach. I'm going to be honest with you. 90% of Georgia is going in the right direction. I'm reading this book right now. I don't know if you guys have read this book. It's called Fourth and Goal Every Day, and it's by Phil Savage, and it's about the Alabama dynasty. And it talks about everything they've done, every move they've made, every movement and step has been in the direction of a championship. And at Georgia, you still got the yeah but crowd. Yeah, but we can go to Jacksonville. We're really not doing everything that we can do to win a championship, but yeah, we can get away with this. We don't really have to make every. So when Kirby Smart says, guys, this is what we need to do, name, image, likeness, is there going to be the yeah but crowd? Yeah, but when Kirby Smart or when Georgia says, hey guys, look at how they're relaxing some of the academic constrictions at some of these other schools. Joe Burrow, a graduate student, doesn't go to class. Yeah, but it's Georgia. We want to – look, man, I'm just telling you. You can choose – some people might say, you got to draw a line somewhere. I say, okay, you draw the line here. Alabama's drawing a line there. You want to win championships? You want to demand that your coaches and student-athletes win championships, and you want to get pissed off when they're 12-2 and number 4 in the nation – but you don't want to do everything you can do to support them winning a champion, you can't have it both ways. These programs that win championships, guys, they go all out for these champions. I'm not saying cheat. Absolutely not. I'm not into, the North Carolina don't go to class thing. Listen, that's awful. I'm not into the Cam Newton. I'm not saying any of that. I'm saying do everything you can within the rules to win championships, because that's what you're paying Kirby Smart to do. So when Kirby Smart tells you that it really hurts and it really would be good to have that extra home recruiting weekend, don't sign an extension on the Florida game, because you just spit in your coach's face. Now, he's not going to bring it up. He's not going to talk about it, I guarantee you, because it's done and over with, and it's behind him now. He made his case. He loved playing in it. He liked, but you know what? The yeah, but crowd. Yeah, but I really like going down there. Yeah, but it's a tradition. Okay. Yeah, but you're not winning the SEC. Yeah, but Alabama's not playing that game. They're not playing LSU in New Orleans every other year. Yeah, but. So that's where Georgia's got to decide. So when you tell me how Georgia's going to stack up with the name, image, likeness, I'm going to say, yeah, but they don't in other areas. So I'm not convinced. If they listen to Kirby, yeah, rock and roll. But these guys don't listen to Kirby. They got too much money, too much power. So we'll see what happens. We'll see if Georgia stays up with the Joneses. It's good to see they're getting a football building and they can move up from number 8 in the facilities rank in the SEC. So there is some progress there, but about the time you catch up with facilities, you're going to have to solve this name, image, likeness deal.
The games that take place, you know, these pay-for-play games, and Georgia's got one coming up against Virginia. Wonder what's going to happen with those games for this year. And again, it's all speculation right now, but, you know, the president of Virginia was on Face the Nation yesterday and basically said this year's going to be different, which is not anything that we aren't already saying, but I just wonder what's going to happen to these pay-for-play games this year, these neutral site games.
That's a great question. And next year, you know, next year. Georgia gave up another home game to go play Clemson in Charlotte. Look, I'm all about seeing Georgia play Clemson, but man, this Athens economy, guys, we need these games in our economy. This economy needs the money. You keep giving away these, you know, $15 million weekends to Charlotte and Jacksonville, and it's like you got to support the local people here. I said this, yeah, you know, these shows I go on, and you guys know I go on Birmingham, I go on Nashville. My biggest concern for Georgia right now, Georgia football, isn't what's going to happen between those walls when those guys get back. It's not the coaching staff. My concern is the city of Athens, because there's a lot of individual business proprietors there that rely on the college being open, that rely on the college football weekends, you know, places like the Last Resort and World Famous. And, you know, that you can't go to another SEC city and find Caliente's. Can't go to the Last Resort, and you can't go to work. You cannot go to another SEC city and have the weekend that you can have in Athens, Georgia. And my greatest fear is when this thing is over, is that some of these businesses aren't going to open back up, and we're going to start seeing more chain restaurants, and it's going to look like any other place. And then all of a sudden, you know, Athens isn't Athens anymore. That's my greatest concern, is this community. And that's what you guys have heard me talk about, this impassioned thing about this Jacksonville thing and giving $35 million to Jacksonville. So that's why. Because I'm here. I've arrived, and people say, Mike, you're new. What do you know? What I know is I am new. I've been here 2 years, and I'm telling you, you've got something here that nobody else in the country has, and you need to protect it. That's my concern. That's my greatest concern for the University of Georgia and Georgia football, is that they are going to lose this incredible downtown that they have that you cannot find anywhere else in the country. Like I said, guys, if Disney World and Epcot had a college football town USA, it would look like Athens, Georgia. It is, to me, the perfect town, and I hope it is restored and in store when everything opens back up. I'm going to give that downtown so much business when they open back up. I'm already doing takeout at a lot of these places. I don't want Athens to lose a guy. That's a real concern.
Yeah, none of us do. Well, you're right. Absolutely. Mike, great stuff today. Glad you got on the Jacksonville rant. No worries.
I enjoyed
that'll
it.
That'll always get.
You brought it up. You guys brought it up.
We
bring
did.
It up every week.
How do we bring it up?
I don't know. You touch on something. I mean, it's a big deal. Every time we talk, you bring up something. It's like, oh yeah, there's the Jacksonville thing.
Something triggers you in something we ask. I don't with Jacksonville.
The needle moves. I love the
conversation.
I gotta
go back and listen to what we said.
Go Georgia Bulldogs. I told you, man. You play that Go Georgia Bulldogs.
Well, that's right.
That's like the best. Is that not like the best fire? I think that's the best fire up of all this. And I liked when they swing Sweet Caroline, but when that band plays that, I'm just like, man, I am at a college football game in Athens, Georgia. I did a stadium ranking, by the way. If you check out our Dog Nation page, I ranked the top 20 stadiums in the country. So you'll need to check that.
Oh, yeah, okay. We're on it. Definitely so. Hey, Mike, thanks, man. We'll catch you again next Monday.
All right, appreciate it, guys.
All right, thanks. Mike Griffith, DogNation.com. Did we bring it up?
I'm checking the tape right now. I don't think we did, though. I think I asked about name, image, and likeness, and somehow.
Oh yeah, that's what it got into. It somehow got to Jacksonville.
I love Mike's opinions. We say this every week. It does not bother me one iota that Mike has the opinions he has. He's allowed to do that. There are plenty of Georgia fans that would stand in his corner and say he's absolutely right. We don't need to be down there. My whole argument, and I don't have to back it up with numbers and analytics, is I like it the way it is. I like college football tradition. tradition does matter, okay? That also matters. Also, the bottom line is that Georgia makes a lot more money going to Jacksonville than it would hosting Florida every 2 years in Athens. A lot more money. And these businesses downtown that apparently Mike thinks are going to go out of business because one day every 2 years, there's not going to be many people in town. I just don't buy into that.
Well, it's not one day out of every 2 years. I mean, it's one weekend out of 14.
Now, where he and I see completely eye to eye on, I'm team Mike Griffith, are these neutral site games. I do not like those at all. I'll deal with them because that's what we have to do. But looking at the future Georgia schedule, I love that it certainly appears that this program is going to be shying away from that. Starting in 25, and goodness, the end of the decade, I know it's a long way from now, but once we start getting the Texas and the Clemson, who is it the Florida State's matched? I think Florida State, Ohio State in the same season, where you're going to go home and home with these guys in a given schedule. You're shying away from the neutral sites. That, to me, is phenomenal. But here's the thing you have to remember, too. When you go home and home with somebody, you're taking a game away from Athens. You're going home and home. It's not a pay for, I'm sorry, as Bill Shanks would say, a cash for clunker game. You're going to take that away to go home and home, but it's still a bigger weekend. And as a college football fan, I support that more. This COVID-19 deal, the shutdown, that is exponentially more devastating to every college town, including Athens, than going to Jacksonville every single year. I don't buy into it. I love it the way it is. I don't think the Last Resort or any other pick a restaurant downtown is losing sleep and saying, oh, we're not going to be able to function because the Dogs are playing in Jacksonville again this year. We don't have that weekend every 2 years. I just don't see it that way.
The Dogs in Virginia still scheduled to play September 7, but we'll see how that goes.
We could just go home and home.
Yeah,
but then you're taking a game out of Athens. Down
but I don't want to. I don't want them to come here.
No,
if it's,
I don't.
If it's if you can't go to the game.
No, that's the conundrum. That's what.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Is if it's going to be no fans in the stands, but you've already agreed to a location, moving it doesn't seem to make any more sense than playing it.
Yeah, I mean, you may as well just. I mean, if it's for TV, then just play the game.
If you've already got
in a neutral site
worked out, because like you know the hotels have been booked for years.
Yeah.
So, Virginia, come on down. Do whatever hotel you were going to do anyway, and let's get rolling. It's a conundrum, man. I'm not sure what they're going to do with those neutral sites, including Jacksonville. But I think the easy solution is just play as is without fans if, big IF, it comes to that.
Logan?
Yeah, man.
I'll say this for Mike Griffith.
Okay.
When he's on, we get a lot of emails and I get texts from people, and I know you do too.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mind that.
I got several just now.
I don't mind that. I will say this. The Virginia neutral site game was asked after he was on Jacksonville. It did not snowball into Jacksonville. He had already brought that up. I asked about the neutral site game against Virginia after all that.
Mm-hmm.
That was not before. Our man George says, places like Last Resort are not here because or for football. Also says, how does Austin survive the Oklahoma game in Dallas every year?
Or does it? Maybe it is crumbling because the Texas State Fair gets all that money.
Would what was I going to say? Would Norman be a better comparison than Austin? I mean, Austin is the capital of Texas. It's a big city. I mean, Norman's not small either. But, yeah, I mean, that's something I've always, you know, we brought that up before, is the game between Oklahoma and Texas in Dallas keeping those two schools from having a gigantic recruiting weekend every year. Well, I guess technically, yeah, or every other year, I'm sorry.
Here's the good news.
But, you know, my only thing is like, okay, if you're going to make the Jacksonville thing, make that statement, it's like, well, Georgia, and you just said this, Georgia just gave up a home weekend to go play Clemson in Charlotte. So, and I know it was just San Jose, but you're still giving away a home weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another one that's gone. If you're going to make the Jacksonville argument, then, you know, then here it's happening again. I want to play Clemson home and home.
We all do, yeah. And we'll get that.
Yeah.
Soon-ish.
If it's at a neutral site and you haven't given up anything for Athens, I can live with it. But still, it's giving up a home game to play somebody I'd rather see play home and home. All right, I know we got to take a break.
Yeah, the interns are yelling
at us. It's 8:36.
You can probably treat yourself to an ad-free upgrade or at least grab an extra latte. After getting a Chime checking account with features like fee-free overdraft up to $200 with SpotMe, no minimum balance requirements, and no monthly fees. Open your account in minutes at chime.com/goals24. That's chime.com/goals24. Chime. Feels like progress. Banking services and debit card provided by Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. Members FDIC. SpotMe eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply.